Hi, I'm Elissa Nicole Trust, an actor and writer living in New York City.
Hey, I'm Lauren Schaffel, an actress and producer also living in New York City.
And we are Positive Creativity Podcast.
Positive Creativity is a podcast where we speak with writers, directors, and other artists about what they're working on, what's inspiring them, and how they stay positive in this industry. We are looking to shed light on all of the wonderful projects happening in New York and beyond.
Our goal is to give creative artists a platform to talk about their work, and to give theater and film lovers the opportunity to learn about more creatives and projects. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you with support from Ahava Theater Company. Hey, listeners. Hope you're staying safe and healthy. Please bear with us as we are recording this episode remotely in quarantine during the COVID-19 crisis. We apologize in advance for any sound quality issues. Happy listening! Deborah Grossman is an actor, singer, and voice actor. Select theater credits include Hava in the national tour of Fiddler on the Roof, Little Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods at Charlottesville Opera, and Sharon in Masterclass at Shakespeare and Company. Her voice has been heard on campaigns for Subway, Liberty Mutual, Geico, and Got Milk, among others. Currently, she can be heard as the voice of Smarty, Elmo's friend, on Sesame Street on HBO and PBS.
So, Deb, we are so excited to have you on Positive Creativity.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, excited to be here.
So, Deb, what is currently inspiring you?
I'd have to say right now, everyone is self-isolating and staying at home during this very interesting time in our lives. So I'm actually up in the Berkshires right now with my parents and my sister and my niece, who's 3 years old. And I would have to say right now, my niece is inspiring not just me, my entire family. She's hilarious. She's adorable. Actually, Lauren got to meet her the other night via Zoom.
She is so cute.
Oh, you did too, Alyssa. We were all there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had come back from a snack break, one of my many in our 2 hour hangout. And back and I was like, she is so precious.
She's really cute. And she's keeping all of us on our toes. And there's a lot of cooking and cleaning and disinfecting of things. And just everyone's trying to stay healthy and stay positive. And that's pretty much what's been going on in our household.
So what are some ways that you're staying positive and creative during this quarantine?
I've been sort of writing parody songs, which a lot of people have been doing lately, with lyrics that correspond to, coronavirus and what's happening right now in the world. I did one that I released already, which was fun. Set to Winter Wonderland, called COVID-19 Land. So that was fun. And then I've written a couple other ones, actually, which I still need to record and post. But hopefully I'll do that later this week.
So I cannot imagine being a child and having my aunt work on one of my favorite TV shows. That was so cool. So Deb, cool. Can you please tell us about your role of Smarty on Sesame Street? We would love to hear everything from the process of getting cast to a typical day on set. It is the coolest job.
It is the coolest job I have had to date, for sure. I'm basically a rock star in her eyes because I'm on, like you said, her favorite and only TV show that she gets to watch.
You are a rock star regardless. You are always in everyone's eyes.
Oh, you're very kind. I got the audition. This was, I think, in 2016 now, fall of 2016. And it was an audition that got emailed to me. Like so many auditions that we get these days, you ladies know, because you are also voice actors. And we get so many self-records, submit MP3s. And I saw this one come in and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I decided to go into my agent's office to record, because we always have the option to do that, which is great. Number one, I don't have to edit it. Number two, I just have an extra set of ears and someone who can give me direction, because oftentimes we're more critical of ourselves than, you know, someone else might be, or they hear something differently and can give us direction in a way that we wouldn't give ourselves that same direction. So I decided to go into the office and record this audition with my agent. And you know, I did a few takes. I think they wanted one take that was very close to our actual voice, and then another take that was more character-y, or like whatever we interpreted, you know, to be that character's voice. So yeah, I did it. I think I did like three takes, and then my agent was like, great, thanks so much for coming in. See you later. I was like, great, okay.
Cool.
And yeah, cool. I mean, it was sort of like just another audition. Like, you know, I've had auditions for a lot of exciting projects, none of which, you know, I've booked. as we know, we have so many auditions for really cool things, and we book some of them, and a lot of them we don't book. So you know, exactly. This was just like another audition, and I texted a friend who works at Sesame, who's a childhood friend. We grew up together in the same building. And I texted her. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you even know, or I'm sure you know, who knows. There's this new character on Sesame Street, and I just had an audition. I was like, her name is Smarty. She's Elmo's smartphone friend, and she's on Elmo's World. And my friend was like, yeah, no, I totally know. That's so awesome. Congratulations. And I was like, well, no. I didn't get the job. I just had an audition. She's like, no, I know. Congrats. That's exciting that you had the audition. And I was like, you know what? It is really exciting that I had the audition. Like, sometimes we lose perspective, like, of the fact that I had the opportunity to, you know, submit an audition for this new character on Sesame Street. And that in and of itself was really cool. And then, I don't know, about like a month or so passed, a month and a half maybe even. And this is one of my childhood friends. She also, we went to the same performing arts camp in the Berkshires growing up called Belvoir Terrace. Anyway, there was going to be a camp reunion. And I texted her and I was like, are you going to the reunion? She texted me and asked if I was going to the reunion. I was like, I can't this year because someone was coming in from out of town and staying with me, or I was seeing a performance, or there was some reason that I couldn't go. And she said, by the way, I don't know if I ever told you, but you were one of the faves in the like last rounds of casting for Smarty. I don't know if they've finalized casting yet, but I know that you were in the mix. And I was like, what? Like, oh my God, really? Like, I mean, just the fact that they listened to the audition, they listened to it more than once, and they, you know, they liked it. And I was like, oh my God, well, even if I don't book this job, like, someone at Sesame Street has listened to my audition. Like, we have no idea when we submit auditions. I'm like, do they listen to all of them? Do they not listen to all of them? Like, who even knows?
So rare to get any kind of feedback like that from.
So rare. Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
And she just like had heard. So it's not like she was necessarily like specifically working on it, but I was like, oh my God, that's thrilling. So anyway, I actually emailed my agent and I was like, hey, just some random exciting feedback. Like, you know, that they obviously listened to it and liked it if I was in the final rounds. Not sure where they are right now on casting, but anyway, just some decent news. And my agent was like, great, that's awesome. And then I think it was like a couple days later, I got an email from my agent requesting videos and a headshot and resume and videos of me singing and audio clips of me singing, just sort of like a lot more information that Sesame wanted. And I was like, huh. I was like, that's so interesting because they, you know, for voiceover, no one cares what you look like, obviously. So there are no headshots involved. And there's no like voiceover resume. They just wanted my regular like theatrical resume. And I was like, okay. So I sent them, you know, a bunch of clips and headshot and resume and stuff. And, you know, that was it. And then I had a trip planned to Australia. And so I was in Australia. And then I get an email from my agent at like, I don't know. It was in the wee hours of the morning. I was actually, at the time, I was recording promos for a Food Network show called Food Network Star Kids. And I had to submit the promos weekly. And because I was out of town, you know, I had my recording equipment with me. But because of the time difference, I had to record. And then like, I would often wake up like really early just to like check my email, make sure there wasn't a problem with the file. And so I got up, I went to the bathroom, I came back, I was like looking, scrolling my phone and my emails, just checking to see if anything came in. And there was an email that was like all exclamation points or something, or, you know, I have to go back and see what the actual subject line was, but it was, anyways, the email saying that I had booked the job, playing Smarty. And I was like, what? Oh my God. I was like beyond excited. Needless to say, I like couldn't, you know, go back to sleep right away. It was like very early in the morning, and I was staying like with some friends there, and I was just trying to be quiet and not wake anyone up at 4 a.m. but it was definitely one of the most thrilling emails I've ever received. And I actually ended up having to change my flight and go back early because they were starting production. So I had to record like a scratch track that they could start animation while I was in Australia. And then when I got there, I was it was the first season, was season 47. It was the first season that Smarty was introduced. And we did 26 episodes for season 47. And we did those over 5 days.
Wow.
It's a lot. So, I mean, basically the Elmo's World segment it's approximately 5 minutes, and my part of it is approximately a minute. It sort of like depends on each episode, but, so they basically film stuff like out of sequence, and I'm there on set, which is really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. And I can go into more detail on that if you want, but basically, they're there getting video capture of Elmo. And I'm off to the side, and I have a mic and a stand. I actually wear a head, like a lav mic, like a musical theater mic that we wear. They call them puppeteer mics. So I'm there off to the side. I have a little monitor. I can also see Ryan, who's the puppeteer for Elmo. It's a unique job in that most voiceover jobs, as you ladies know, we're in a booth by ourselves. So right. This is on the actual set of Sesame Street, and it's mind-blowing and super fun.
I'd love to hear more about what is it like being on that set and the community there.
Yeah, so it is the coolest thing I've ever experienced. The first day I walked onto set, I couldn't even believe that I was there, because you look at the set and it just brings back all these childhood memories. It's mind blowing. Like, and I just had the biggest smile from ear to ear, and I just kept saying to myself, I was like, all right, keep it together. Like, just, this is work. Like, you know, try not to freak out. So, I mean, basically I only work directly with Elmo. But often like the puppeteer for Big Bird, for example, like he's also one of the directors. So he'll sometimes be directing an episode of Elmo's World. So I'll get to work with him. Or for example, one of the puppeteers, the puppeteer for Ernie, he'll sometimes be on an Elmo's World shoot, and he'll either be puppeteering Smarty, who is not an actual puppet, but during filming, they have a Smartie on a stick, basically, so that Elmo's eye line will be matched up while they're doing video capture of Elmo, and then later they put in the animation for Smartie. But Elmo needs to know where to look, so they have like a Smartie stand-in, basically. So all the other puppeteers, they sort of rotate who's on any given day. So I've gotten to work with a lot of the puppeteers who puppet, you know, the characters that we all know and love.
That's super cool.
Did I answer your question? I can't remember.
Yeah. That is so cool. That seems like the most amazing job ever.
It really is. I walked onto set the first day, and one of the coolest things, so I love the show Avenue Q, the musical. And
yes, yeah, my favorite too.
So great. And a lot of the puppeteers from Sesame were also in Avenue Q. So I walked onto set the first day, and I knew that for sure. The woman who played Kate Monster, Stephanie D'Abruzzo, she was on Sesame Street, and I thought maybe I'd see her, maybe not. I don't know. But she's also represented by my same agent for voiceover. Mm. And so they're like, tell Stephanie we say hi. She's so lovely. Like, and I was like, I don't know if I see her, if I'm going to say hi. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I just had no idea. But I saw her when I first walked on a set, and I was like, I was just like too overwhelmed. I couldn't even really talk to anyone. I was just sort of taking everything in. But then we had like a little lunch break, and we were over by the food, and I went up to her and I was like, hi, Stephanie. And she's like, hi, Deb. Welcome. We're so happy to have you. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I just, you know, I was like sort of fumbling for words, but I was like, oh, we're with the same agent, and Kate says hi, and you know, she was like, oh yeah, I love them, and I was like, me too. So that was cool, and also Jen Barnhart, who was one of the bad idea bears in Avenue Q, she's in Sesame Street. She's on Sesame Street also. And so, yeah, it was just sort of mind blowing to see people who I recognize from Broadway on set at Sesame, and to just sort of like be a part of it all. I mean, it's something that we dream about, and there I was, and I was actually a part of it. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, it seemed like it wasn't real at times. But it was. I don't know. It's a hard thing to describe, because I was so full of wonder, sort of just looking around set and like, you know, taking it all in, and then just trying to balance, like, you know, being professional and not like freaking out too much at all the amazing people that I was working with. And also, everyone is so kind and supportive. Like, it's a really beautiful work environment. From what I've experienced, and I immediately felt comfortable. Like, I was a little nervous when I first showed up, just because it was a different type of voiceover job. I was on this huge set. There were, you know, people there who have been doing this for literally 47 years. Like, one of the camera guys, Frankie, he's been there now for 50, we're filming season 51, or just finished filming season 51. Like, you know, veterans who have, you know, been doing this literally for the last, you know, 50 years. And right. So I was definitely a little nervous. But as soon as I got there, like, I was really put at ease. And everyone from like the sound guy to, you know, the producers, like, everyone was super welcoming. And the director, I had an amazing director who lives in the UK, actually. And he came in and he immediately made me feel so at ease. That's really the best thing, and what any actor or voice actor wants, I think, or at least from my perspective, like, you know, having someone, a director who, you know, is effective at communicating and making you feel comfortable so that you can do your best work.
Yeah. And it's, you know, as you were describing it, I was thinking back on some of the experiences I've had too. It can be really kind of nerve-wracking to step onto a set where people who've been working there for a long time, it's like you're joining a family.
Yep.
And it's that, yeah, it's so wonderful to hear that the Sesame Street team is such, it sounds like a welcoming family.
It really was, yeah, and is. Like, I am still so lucky to be a part of it, so.
So cool. I'm also curious, where is the set? Are there multiple locations? I know there's Sesame Street Workshop at Lincoln Center.
Right, yeah, Sesame Workshop, like their offices are right near Lincoln Center, exactly. But the set where they film is at Kaufman Astoria Studios in Queens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's super easy, close by, just a quick train ride to Astoria. And then oftentimes I'll do, you know, I record everything on set, and then there'll be some ADR that I have to do, or looping, which is after everything's been done, I have to go back into the studio. And if a line has been changed or edited, I have to re-record it and sync it with the lip flap of the character. So, yeah. So I'll usually go into the Lincoln Center Studios to do that, which is great because I live really close by to there.
Yeah.
So that's super convenient for me.
So I was actually going to say, don't you live right near the new literal Sesame Street?
Yes. They just, they did a renaming ceremony of, I think it's West 63rd and Broadway, which is right, like one of the streets that's right near the Sesame Workshop offices. Also, same building as SAG-AFTRA offices.
SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had a like renaming ceremony and all the characters were there. And I was there. I mean, I just went as like, you know, an observer. I wasn't part of the ceremony or anything. But got to see a lot of my friends there. And yeah, it was really cool. Like, and you walk by and it says Sesame Street. So it's, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Incredible. What an incredible legacy to be a part of.
It is. Yes. It's daunting in one way to know that, like, I'm a voice on this show that's shaping kids' lives and their minds and everything. There's a lot of sort of responsibility that goes with it in a way. But it is such an honor to be a part of something like this that I just feel so lucky. I mean, I feel lucky anytime I book a job, to be honest. Like, it's just, you know, it's almost like winning the lottery, I feel like. But this was really a special job to book and to be a part of. And to have so many friends who have kids who watch the show, and they'll send me texts of their kids, you know, watching and like screenshots of Smarty. And it's just really sweet. And like, I just, yeah, I feel so lucky to be a part of it.
How cool. So cool. Do you have any Smarty swag?
They do have a couple Smarty things. There was this toy called the Smarty Wristy, which was like a tiny little Smarty plush toy that had an elastic band so that it could go around the arm of one of the Elmo plush toys. So that was really cute. And so then cute. There's also a new toy that just came out. Not just came out. I don't know, a few months ago.
I'm laughing. I've heard about how hard it is to get this toy.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's an Elmo and Smarty little plush toy that's apparently like sold exclusively at Target. And when I went to order one, I ordered one And I think I got one. And then I tried to order like four or five of them to give to my niece and to give to some other friends' kids. And it was like the order had been postponed and postponed and postponed. And then all of a sudden there was like, there just were none in stock. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, I can't believe I can't get one like to give to my niece and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and to have one for myself. Like, I wanted to have one.
Yeah.
Obviously. But finally, and you know what? I don't know if it's like for sure the reason, but they might have just stopped production. They're made in, I think these toys were made in Vietnam. But with the whole coronavirus crisis situation, like I'm sure like every factory shut down. Yeah. So that might have been the reason. I don't know if that's actually the case, but sort of what I deduced. But yeah, so, but they just arrived actually.
Yes.
2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Good.
So I now have four of them. And my niece got one the other night. She was very excited because it's a talking Elmo with a little Smarty doll attached. Oh. Yeah. Smarty doesn't talk, unfortunately, but Elmo does, so.
maybe will be your services will be needed.
Who knows in the next merchandise endeavor.
That is so cool. Oh my goodness, it seems like you've really hit the jackpot as far as voiceover jobs that one could get. Can you share any advice for people who want to start a career in voiceover?
Sure. Yeah, I got asked this question a lot, actually. The first thing is to take a class. A lot of people are like, oh, should I run and make a demo? Like, how do I do this? Like, don't make a demo before you've taken class because you won't know what you're doing. So, and you want to, I mean, you're going to be spending money on a demo. You want it to be good.
Yeah. And so, this is something we ask all of our guests on this podcast, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what do you do to stay positive when these maybe setbacks or things come up in the industry that can be frustrating? How do you kind of take care of yourself?
So first and foremost, I don't take anything personally. That's harder some days than others because you're like, what? But and then also I have other things, you know, that I'm passionate about and that I like to do so that I'm not thinking about the audition. Like every audition I do it, I submit it, I forget about it. Or I go in, I record at the casting office or my agent's office and I have other stuff that I'm doing that day. So I'm not like fixated on it. I also am very lucky in that like I tend to forget about things really easily. So like, I'll just like do it. And then I genuinely forget about it. So unless I've spent like so much time on a certain audition, and I do have to say that it is much harder for legit auditions like theater, film, and TV, right? Where we're spending, you know, maybe it's 24 hours, maybe it's 48 hours for film or TV, memorizing this whole script, maybe learning a dialect, maybe figuring out if it's in a different time period, what am I going to wear? How am I going to do my hair, my makeup, everything to convey this character, right? And memorize the entire script. That takes so much more time and energy than voiceover, where you don't even get the script until you walk into the casting office. Now that's like, if you're actually going into an office, which is rarer and rarer these days for me anyway, I feel like most of my auditions are, you know, self-record MP3s. So I do get those scripts emailed to me from my agent, but, you know, I read through it a couple of times and then I do it. So there isn't as much sort of time and effort invested,
right.
Unless you have to learn a dialect. I had to learn a dialect for something like a couple months ago for a voiceover job, one that I had never worked on before. And so it was a solid, like, you know, I'd say 4 hours of work trying to just get the dialect in my ear before I had to record the sides.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that there's some other things, passions that you have in your life. What are some of those things?
I love cooking.
Yes.
And baking, which I've been doing a lot of as we are all self-quarantining.
And have you made anything special lately?
I've been doing a lot of baking with my niece. We have some basic bakery here, pretty much. We've got mint chip meringues, we've got Rice Krispie treats, and we have chocolate chip cookies currently. And then I've been making, I made one of my favorite chicken dishes, chicken paprikash with spetzel. It's a Hungarian dish, which is delicious. And we did, what else have we made? Oh gosh, a lot of different things. My sister's making a stir fry tonight. My dad made lamb the other night. So we're, you know, we do like a grocery shop, like a big shop once a week usually. And stock up and sort of menu plan for the week and figure out what we want and what's available in the store and sort of go from there. And then, yeah, it's been interesting.
So fortunate to have a house full of amazing chefs.
Yes, I know. It is quite fortunate at a time like this. My dad is a chef and a cookbook author. My sister is a really good cook. My mom is an amazing cook. She used to be my dad's assistant, and like, you know, she's everyone's super, super good in the kitchen. So needless to say, all of the Grousemans are eating very well.
That's incredible.
I need to work on the exercising front. That has not been going as strongly as all the eating. but you know, goals, something to work on for next week.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I am still waiting for your cookbook at some point. If that comes out, like, Deb.
Yes. That's right. We had talked about that. I know. I've had friends who are like, can you and your dad do a cooking show? Like, can you video some recipes? We need help, because there are all these people who are home now and who are cooking three meals a day, right? And who might have kids at home, and they're also homeschooling, and it's a lot for people to deal with, like, all at once. And even a lot of people who normally have, you know, like childcare, or, you know, their kids go to daycare or whatever it is, they're now full-time parents and working full-time. Still some people who are lucky enough to have a job. And cooking and cleaning, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. There are four adults in the house right now and one child who's three, and we're all like, you know, all hands on deck. It's like, who's on Eleanor duty right now? Who wants to take her, you know, downstairs to run around? Who wants to prep dinner? Who wants to go out for a walk? Who needs to take a nap? Like, you know, it's really important to check in with everybody's needs. And, you know, because we're all home all the time. Like, when was the last time you were all under the same roof with like your whole family? And I have a very small family, but it can be intense, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, but we're all making it work. We're smiling. We're watching a lot of Sesame Street, which is good.
There's some good positivity.
Exactly. Yeah. I think adults should watch Sesame Street. I mean, they teach kindness and respect and listening, and it's. There are good things that, you know, everyone needs reminders of every once in a while. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Deb. This has been such a pleasure. You are such a light of positivity and joy. And aww. I'm so glad that we had you on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun. And I'm just excited that you ask me to be on. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing from you. You can email us at positivecreativitypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at positivecreativitypodcast. And for more info on our guest today, please view the show notes. Join us next time on Positive Creativity Podcast.